right, my last piece today. Let me introduce our guest that's going to be with us today, Dr. Jen Ashby. Jen, we are so glad to have you with us today. Jen comes to us from the Metro District. She is the director of Church Health. And so y'all better be on your best behavior today, okay? She's the director of Church Health. She's been with us at the Metro District for about a year now. She has about 25 years of experience serving various churches in the Christian and Missionary Alliance. One connection that Jen and I have is that Jen served a church in Maryland where my mom, she didn't go to that church, but she was born in that same town, in that same area. And so a number of different connections. Jen serves both a local church. She serves on the national level office. She makes her home now in Union, New Jersey, so close, not too far from us. She enjoys exploring new places, dark roast coffee, all right, and a good story in any form. So if you have a story you want to share with her after our meal today, she would be delighted to do that. So Jen's going to come and share with us. Let's give her a warm Kairos welcome.
Thank you. That'd be great. Good morning, Kairos Church. I've been really looking forward to being with you, and I'm so happy this day has finally come. I bring greetings to you from your 130 sister churches in the Metro District. That's all across New Jersey, New York City, a couple churches in Philadelphia, and our church churches vary widely in size and style and the language in which they worship. But part of what we have in common is this vision to collaborate for kingdom renewal and holistic gospel transformation. That's part of our district statement, that we collaborate for kingdom renewal and holistic gospel transformation. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I grew up in a very small town in South Central Kansas called Mulvane. And when I was growing up in Mulvane, we had one stoplight, we had one grocery store, but we had two rodeo grounds. So that tells you about the value system in and around Mulvane. And growing up in Mulvane as a kid, there was not a whole lot to do in the summer, but most of us played softball. And I think we have a picture of me at, that's like my first season of T-ball at age 6 or 7. And I played every year up through age 12. Actually, it's a little bit of an overstatement to say that I played softball for those first few years, because mostly I was wearing the team shirt and I was on the field, but I had very little contact with the ball. I was mostly watching other people play the game and looking forward to the snacks that we had after every game. But there was a very distinct turning point in my softball career when I was about 9 years old. And our team was fielding, and I was playing second base. The other team was at bat. There were runners on first and second. And this batter hit a line drive that came just to my left. And I stuck out my glove like I had stuck it out 100 times before, and 100 times before I had missed the ball. But that day, the ball landed square in my glove. Out one. Now, the runner that had been on second and had taken off was headed back to second, and I stepped on second base. She's out, out two. And then the runner that had been on first heading towards me was close enough that I could reach out my glove and touch her. Out three, inning over. And in 2 to 3 seconds, I had single-handedly made a triple play. I went from the kid who never touches the ball to the kid who sort of fell into a triple play. And that day, I went from watching the game to most definitely being in the game. And that is something that the disciples have in common with that story in the text that we're going to look at today. Our text for today is coming from Matthew. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. If you want to follow along, you can, or you can just listen. I'm starting in Matthew 9, verse 35, and we're going to roll all the way till chapter 10, verse 8. It says this: Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who's called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. And as you go, preach this message: The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, this passage is coming after the disciples have had some time following Jesus. They've heard him teach. They've watched him do miracles. And remember, when this was originally written, these chapter verse markings were not there. This all just flowed together. And so I want you to notice the parallels between what Jesus did and what he sent the disciples to do. So in Matthew 9, 35 to 38, Jesus was preaching the good news of the kingdom. And then he told his disciples, go preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus was healing every disease and sickness. And then he gives his disciples authority to drive out evil spirits, to heal every disease and sickness. Jesus talked about people as sheep without a shepherd. And then he talks to his disciples about the lost sheep of Israel. Jesus says, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. And then Matthew uses the word apostles to refer to the disciples. And it says, these 12 Jesus sent out. Apostles actually means sent ones. And this is the only time that Matthew uses this word. The disciples, and I submit to you that we as well, are not only to watch the kingdom, to witness Jesus bringing the kingdom, but also to carry the kingdom, to carry the kingdom. In Matthew 9:28, these disciples were to pray that the Lord would send out workers, and then in 10:5, they are the answer to their own prayer. They are sent out. They're no longer just watching. They're now in the game. And I submit to you that we too are sent to carry the kingdom. Would you repeat this after me? Carry the kingdom. The church is meant to be a carrier of the kingdom. So if you're a believer in Jesus, this is true of you as a person, and it's especially true of our life together. Our life together as a church around the purposes of God. What is the kingdom? Sometimes scripture refers to this as the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, but what is it? The kingdom is where the ways of God and the resources of God are evident. We're going to cover some ground today. If you don't remember it, it's okay with me. If you remember one thing, this is what I want you to remember, that the kingdom is where the ways of God and the resources of God are evident.
During his life on earth, wherever Jesus went, the ways of God and the resources of God were evident. And as believers of Jesus who've put our faith in him, we have the Holy Spirit deposited in us. We have the authority of Jesus delegated to us. And we are to also carry the kingdom so that wherever we go, the ways of God and the resources of God are evident. This morning, we're going to limit ourselves just to the book of Matthew. Every scripture reference will be from Matthew, and we're going to look at some of the things Jesus said about the kingdom. Carry the ways of God. What are the ways of God? What are the ways of the kingdom? How do things work in the kingdom? How do things work among us and through us when we carry the kingdom? Here's just a few. It works like a banquet to which people are invited. 22:2. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. In this parable, this story that Jesus tells, the king sends out messengers to invite guests to a banquet. Some of those guests ignore the invitation. Some guests kill the messengers. But the king just keeps sending out more and more invitations until the wedding hall is filled with guests. That's the kingdom. The kingdom is for all kinds of people. 8:11. Many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. In other words, all kinds of people, not only Jews, but also Gentiles from all different places are part of the kingdom. And 21:31, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God. In other words, people from all kinds of messy and complicated backgrounds are part of the kingdom. The kingdom is where our sins are forgiven and we forgive others. 18:23, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And in this parable, the king forgives a really big debt of one of his servants, and then that servant turns around and doesn't want to forgive a much smaller debt from another servant. And Jesus says, time out. This is not what it's like in the kingdom. In the kingdom, God forgives us and we forgive each other. In the kingdom, there is extravagant grace. Matthew 21, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. And in this parable, throughout the day, this vineyard owner is hiring men at different times, but at the end of the day, he gives them all a full day's wage because we receive God's blessings and gifts not based on what we do or how long we do it, but out of his goodness. And in the kingdom, we practice and we teach the word of God. 5:19, whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom, we learn the word of God, we obey the word of God, we pass on the word of God. These are just some of the ways of God in the kingdom. One of the coolest things that I have ever been part of is the Durwood Farmers Market. And what resonated with me so much about the market was how much it was an expression of the kingdom. The extent to which we were carrying out the ways of God in that context. I served at a small church in Maryland for over 16 years. And we partnered with a small local nonprofit to host a weekly farmers market from Easter to Labor Day, every Saturday. And each week, there were between 12 and 25 vendors of fresh produce and dairy and meat and some prepared foods. There was live music and picnic tables where people could hang out. And most importantly, there were volunteers from our church there every week to welcome people, to answer questions, to set up and tear down and direct traffic, and to generally just build relationships with people in our community. And this became the gathering place for our neighborhood, especially during COVID. And we truly welcomed all kinds of people. And we demonstrated generosity by giving away masks and shopping bags and cold bottles of water on a hot day and Once COVID was over, we could restart this monthly kids' craft table that we would do, and that would be free as well. And people in our neighborhood were amazed when they found out that the church didn't make any money off the market. Rather, the church paid the nonprofit to organize these vendors so that we could offer the market. The market manager arranged for the market to be able to take WIC and SNAP and other kinds of food assistance so that if you came to the market with $10 in food stamps, you could spend $20 at the market. We hosted monthly collection drives at this market when we invited the community to bring things for the local shelter, the local school, the local food bank. Because practicing the word of God means we care for the vulnerable. Then we started creating a farmer's market cookbook, which was really kind of an excuse to interview vendors and customers at our market about why they came to the market, what they loved about it, and to submit recipes for that cookbook. And depending on how the conversation goes, we could ask, hey, we're praying people here. Is there anything that we could pray for you? Could we pray for you now? And a whole lot of people took us up on that. And today, there are people who've taken steps towards faith and who are part of that church community because of the way God worked through that market. But the market didn't happen overnight. And to be honest with you, we tried several different things before we landed on this one. And we had to keep at this initiative for a couple of years before it really took off. To be honest with you, there were some Saturdays in the summer that I didn't want to give up to go serve at the market. Usually once I got there, I was glad I did. And to be honest, while nobody in our church opposed the market, not 100% of people jumped on board. I'm just keeping it real. I'm not here to convince you to start a farmer's market. I really couldn't care less if you start a farmer's market. But I am here to urge you to keep going down this path you're already on to discern how the makeup and the gifts and the resources of your church intersect with the felt needs of your community. Where do those things come together? We call that the critical gospel impact, the CGI. And so as you seek God in understanding what is that intersection, he may show you a point, a CGI, that is something for your whole church. Or it might be something that's just for one of your community groups. Or it might be something that's just for one of your ministry teams. But that is the question to be asking God. How would you have us carry the kingdom here? Freely you have received, freely give. And the question is, Lord, how specifically would you have us give? When we carry the kingdom, we carry the ways of God, and we carry the resources of God. How does Matthew describe the resources of God in the kingdom? Well, it's authority for deliverance and healing, Matthew 10, 1. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Spiritual authority is God's delegated authority, delegated to believers in Jesus to steward with humility. And spiritual authority is for doing God's will, God's way. And it's one of the resources of a kingdom. The resources of the kingdom include the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and the great gift of hearing the Spirit's voice. And while Matthew doesn't talk about those things specifically using the word kingdom, I think if we look honestly at the New Testament, we could agree that it describes all these things as resources of God given to believers, to the church in this age. And cooperating with God to bring the ways of God and the resources of God is one of the greatest adventures you can have in this life. I think we have a picture of my friend Melanie, good friend, and a little over a year ago, God brought to Melanie's mind some childhood memories of trauma that she had pushed down. And she shared that with me And one evening, as we were praying with some other friends, God brought those memories to the surface again. And Holy Spirit guided me and others about how to pray, how to speak into that situation. The voice and guidance of Holy Spirit is a tremendous resource in the kingdom. And through a powerful encounter with Jesus, Melanie experienced significant healing from that trauma. She and I both discerned that trauma may have opened the door to some evil spirits in her life. And so we included another friend, and we brought that question to God together. And again, Holy Spirit guided us what to pray, what to speak into that situation, and how to use delegated spiritual authority to make demons go. And after another really powerful encounter with Jesus, Melanie experienced significant freedom from oppression. And now she continues to grow in discernment and spiritual authority, and she's carrying the ways and resources of God into situations with other people and helping them find healing and freedom. And so one of the questions is, what does it look like for Kairos now and in the future to carry the resources of the kingdom into our life together as a church, but also as well into the greater community? Hearing God's voice, bearing his fruit through our character, living out his gifts, operating in spiritual authority. We carry the kingdom, we carry the ways of God, and we carry the resources of God into some broken spaces. Because as great as the kingdom might sound to some of us, not everyone wants the kingdom. And so when we carry the kingdom out into the world, we wade into some complicated waters. Not everyone understands the kingdom. Matthew 13:11, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom have been given to you, but not to them. Jesus said that to his disciples, and even some of his disciples didn't understand the kingdom at times. And the kingdom is contested by an enemy. Matthew 13:24, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. And in this parable, Jesus goes on to say there's also an enemy that sows bad seed. And that enemy is the evil one or the devil. So while we're given the resources to overcome the evil one, there is still a struggle. And these are complicated waters. Last story for today, we have a picture of my friend, Nurten. I met her about 8 years ago when her boyfriend, who's a Christian, brought her to our church's conversation cafe. She's Turkish, she's from a Muslim background. And over time, that relationship with her boyfriend went sideways, and there were a lot of broken places in Nurten's life. But she kept engaging with our church. She kept coming to the weekend worship service, to small groups I led, to the farmer's market, to special events. And we shared meals and walks and life together, and we talked through many, many things. We talked through the Bible, the gospel, the Trinity, the similarities and differences between Islam and Christianity. And Nurten was exposed to the ways of God, but she did not understand the kingdom. And I and others prayed for her a lot. And when I left that church about a year ago, she was at my last Sunday, my going away thing, and we had a heart to heart. And she said, "Jen, I will say yes to Jesus someday. It will happen." And so I left there with that business unfinished, at least in my mind. And then in July, I got a text from the pastor saying, "Nurten said yes to Jesus. We're baptizing her in September." So I drove down for the baptism. It was amazing. It was wonderful. And we're celebrating afterwards. And I said, "Nurten, you got to tell me. What changed your mind? What tipped the scales?" And she said that earlier in the year, when there was a big earthquake in Turkey, you'll remember this from the news, she had a number of close friends who were missing. And she was very concerned about them. And she was at work, and she heard a voice say, "Go to the church and pray." So she went to our church, She was praying with our pastor and a couple of other people. And while they were praying, she had a vision of Jesus in that situation amongst the rubble in Turkey. And Jesus gave her a message about that situation. And that was enough for her to say yes to all those things we had talked about and all those things that she had learned. The supernatural resources of God broke in. That was the kingdom breaking in to Norton's life. Repeat after me one more time, carry the kingdom. Yeah. We're meant to carry the ways of God and the resources of God into broken spaces. And in cooperating with God to do this, let me encourage you, we do bring influence. But let me sober you, we do not control people or situations. Not everyone understands the kingdom. And it's up to God to do that part of the revelation. There was clearly nothing more I could have done for Norton. But God broke in. The kingdom broke in. Sometimes the kingdom is messy and complex and costly. And sometimes it takes a long time. I shared and ministered to Norton, and as did others, for 8 years. Sometimes it takes longer. But the king is worth it. The king is worth it. To circle back to our first passage for today, King Jesus, who came for us, who died for us, who rose for us, who ascended for us, who revealed himself to us, drew us to himself, deposited Holy Spirit in us, and invites us into what he's doing, he says to us, freely you have received. Freely give. Don't just watch the game and enjoy the snacks. Get in the game. Get in the game. Carry the kingdom. Carry God's ways and God's resources into the broken places, Kairos. This is Jesus' word to us. And so, in closing, I'd like for us to stand together, if you would. And I'm going to invite you to pray the Lord's Prayer together with me. Because in it, Jesus talked about the kingdom, the ways of God, and the resources of God. So let's pray this together. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You are the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, I thank you for this church, for what you have been doing and what you are doing here, that I see the ways of the kingdom at work here. I see the resources of the kingdom. And God, I pray that you would pour out your spirit in a way that enables this church to live into its name. This is a Kairos moment. This is where the kingdom is breaking in and can break in even more into this world and this community and the communities and neighborhoods represented here. And so, God, I pray over these friends that their ears would continue to be turned towards you, that they might be able to hear from you, to see your vision of how who they are, how you've made them, intersects with what you're doing in this community and these surrounding communities at this time. May they sense a strong leading of your spirit. May they sense unity around what they're hearing. May they know the joy of joining you in what you're doing. And would you give them the blessing of seeing fruit that lasts? Bless them. Bless them. In Jesus' name, and amen.